Welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Purple Mafia is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, featuring Spotify, even though the parameters for that are insane. I guess download and listen to it on Spotify or any other app you want. Just saying Spotify is the main feature for this show anyway. It's a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. The Minnesota Vikings kind of showed up to play, kind of didn't. And the fact that they didn't come out guns a-blazing was not a good sign. And ultimately, despite some nice little valiant efforts here and there, some nice little spurts is pretty much what we saw. The Minnesota Vikings end up falling to the San Diego, Los Angeles Super Duper Chargers 28-24 in US Bank Stadium and drop to the putrid 0-3. An unenviable position, no doubt about it. I'm almost at a loss of words. You can't hang on to the damn ball. You know, you have opportunities, you make big plays, and then you end up fumbling the ball. Play after play after play, the Chargers get called for holding, illegal hands to the face, this and that. Pass interference, offensive pass interference, defensive pass interference, holding on offense, holding on defense. The Chargers had penalty after penalty after penalty, and including one of the dumbest coaching decisions you could ever imagine, going for it deep in your own zone, which is literally in the red zone area for the Chargers, trying to go for it on a 4th-and-1. Now, they could have made it and everything, and they would have been like, oh, gutsy call, good job, wow, 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 that was gutsy, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But then the Vikings end up getting the huge stop and have another chance to possibly win the game, and we follow it up with one of the most pathetic offensive showings I've ever seen. After completing a short pass up the middle, it takes the Vikings a good 16 seconds to hike the ball, no time to spike it or anything, and then a tipped pass for an interception. Yes, I'm foreshadowing, but then again, I suppose, I suppose people sometimes talk about the very end of the very beginning of the episode, so it's not like everything has to be in chronological order. As, you'd hear that on pretty much every show nowadays. Got Adam Thielen flashing on the screen right now. Seattle versus Carolina. This was a big playoff game many years ago when the Seattle Seahawks were a dangerous team once upon a time. Regardless, I don't even know why I care about the Seattle Seahawks or the Carolina Panthers, but I don't know. Why do I care about the Vikings at this point? 0-3. I mean, the chances of the Vikings really going anywhere are very slim at this point. And you're already seeing fans everywhere, and I mean everywhere now, already saying the words that a lot of us thought were unthinkable just a mere year ago. Fire KOC.
Okay. That's the way you want it. That's the way you're going to get it.
Now, I will reiterate, I don't like to use the initials because it sounds a lot like a certain politician that I'm not a big fan of at all. And you shouldn't be either, but I suppose you have a right to your own opinion. Already saying to fire Kevin O'Connell. Pretty crazy. Fire Kwesi, yep, that was already getting started really early because the Minnesota Vikings pretty much ignored the offensive line in this situation and that situation. Oh, the Vikings did make two significant additions this past week. Yeah, but they didn't play in the game. Maybe they would have helped. Maybe it wouldn't have mattered. It probably wouldn't have. It probably would have been the exact same result, more than likely, unless somehow new Vikings running back Cam Akers exploded onto the scene. But Alexander Mattison had 90 yards in the game because the Vikings are more focused on the run when we could have passed for probably like 700 yards today with the way the Chargers defense was very beatable. Except for the tipped interception at the end, the Chargers defense is very beatable today. Obviously giving up like basically where they were number one in the league in pass yards given up were the Chargers, so we run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. Alexander Mattison does wind up with 93 yards, a lot like he did in the past when he was, basically in a pinch in games where, of course, Dalvin Cook was injured and this and that, which was very often, unfortunately, during Dalvin Cook's career. Ty Chandler looks good going up the gut, averaging 9 yards a carry, 3 on 27, and a long of only 12. So again, consistently, Ty Chandler is able to hit that hole and hit it hard with a little burst of speed and such. So yes, there was a semblance of a running game, but then you don't target Justin Jefferson until like the second quarter. Sure. So, again, that's where people might be going after KOC a bit or Kevin O'Connell. I don't like using the initials, and I'm using them again. I apologize. T.J. Hockenson with the obnoxious, frustrating fumble pretty early in the game. I might look like a good drive, and it doesn't mean jack bleep if you're going to fumble it right back to the Chargers. So then you get beat in a trick play. Justin Herbert pitches it to Keenan Allen, who had the game of his life. He had an Adrian Peterson in 2007 type of a game as a receiver, but also threw for a 49-yard touchdown pass, which was extremely frustrating to Mike Williams, who unfortunately did get a significant injury. Not 100% sure what his status is, but it doesn't look good, that type of thing. Justin Jefferson looked like he might have had a significant injury as well, but it looks like it's cramping. Thankfully, Justin Jefferson, yeah, so you don't see it very often when a guy's laying on the ground with an injury with the trainers and stuff all around him, drinking out of the bottle of water. I mean, it's possible that he's thirsty, you got to give him something, but no, you could tell right away it's probably cramp-related because cramps usually come from dehydration in the course of an intense game like that in a position that Justin Jefferson plays where he's moving 100 miles an hour at all times. Yeah, you might get cramped up, and thankfully it looks like that's what Justin Jefferson was going through. Hopefully he doesn't have the same issues that LeBron James did in the NBA Finals against the Spurs in a 100-degree arena. That was a bit ridiculous. That's the problem with playing in San Antonio in June. Good luck to you. June in San Antonio, Texas. Yeah, wonderful. Anyway, back to Keenan Allen. 18. That's right, 18 receptions in the game for 215 yards. Actually didn't catch a touchdown, but he did throw a 49-yard touchdown. A spectacular day for Keenan Allen regardless. He did come up short in a crucial play, which gave the Vikings an opportunity. Or that was the play before that 4th-and-1 gamble by Staley of the Los Angeles not-so-super Chargers. I suppose Allen and Herbert were super Chargers, that's for sure. But the play afterward, I mean, I thought Staley, that's it. He's probably going to get fired. The Vikings will win by the skin of our teeth, and we'll be like, yay, the Vikings won, but they look like crap again for the most part, except for some extremely sexual or sexy statistics. Pardon the terrible mistake there. Extremely sexy statistics from Kirk Cousins once again. Maybe it could have been 4 touchdowns and 400 yards. You know, Patrick Mahomes type numbers, regardless of how I feel about that team, would have been great. Maybe Justin Jefferson winds up with 180 yards and 2 TDs, which would have been also very wonderful statistics and everything. But it still would have been the kind of game you come out feeling not all that great. Like, did we, you know, like, yay, we beat them by the skin of our teeth because they made an idiot move. And by God's grace, the Vikings got tons and tons and tons of calls. Because those calls could go the other way sometimes, especially when they're relatively close or it's two guys clutching and grabbing each other in a play. Sometimes the call goes against you when it probably shouldn't, that type of thing. Thankfully, again, I mean, obviously the play where Justin Jefferson was hurt, at first I was wondering if it had to do with that neck because Justin Jefferson was basically whacked in the face. That's where the illegal hands to the face call came in, and the Vikings had a new set of downs, which was really nice, but we just blew all of our freaking, you know, we blew all the time we had down the stretch and had to force a play that was tipped and intercepted, Cadre Ismail style, back years ago. That's what used to drive me and my brother nuts when it came to Cadre Ismail. He must have had more assisted interceptions in the history of the world. Greg Joseph, nothing to complain about, made his field goal and all of his extra points. Ryan Wright had a couple of touchbacks today. What the heck? So that's an urban legend. Ryan Wright had multiple touchbacks. That never happens. So that's unfortunate. The ball kind of bad bounce. And it also could tell you the special teams play in front of him didn't help because maybe somebody could have been there to kind of, you know, stop the ball, that type of thing. Multiple touchbacks for Ryan Wright, 2 of them. Still averaged 48.3 a carry despite that, and he did have an in the 20. I know, I'm sure you all care so much about Ryan Wright's statistics and his touchbacks, but I don't know, it is kind of weird. I was stunned a little bit with a lot of us look at Byron Murphy Jr. as like the young veteran, like the best cornerback on the Vikings roster, this and that. But he was thrown at so many times in the game. Caleb Evans as well was just abused out there. Byron Murphy Jr. fell on a play, wound up with, again, 10 total yards. 10 total yards. That was one of the plays he was called for interference, was Byron Murphy. Caleb Evans, 11 tackles. Again, that just tells you, again, the guy's catching the ball and the cornerbacks are making the tackle. Cam Bynum got beat on a play. I mean, it's just, I don't know, extremely frustrating. Absolutely. Or no, he didn't get beat on the play, but he should have had an interception. It was ultimately tipped, again, into the Chargers player. So in multiple cases, the ball was tipped to the Chargers player. Cameron Bynum could have had an interception. It was tipped to the Chargers receiver for a touchdown. I believe that was Joshua Palmer. Yep, that was Palmer. Joshua. That was Palmer there with that one because that was a deeper play, 30 yards. Yep. The others were short plays to Donald Parham Jr. Couple of TDs on only 4 yards. So fantasy phenom, urban legend right there. How you can get 2 touchdown receptions on 4 yards. Pretty amazing. 4 yards total in the game. That's funny. So that's a fantasy phenom, a fantasy fantasy urban legend right there. But the Vikings secondary got abused today. Nope, you don't want to blame Brian Flores. You really don't. I think it's the personnel, generally speaking, not as good as a lot of us would like. And also the fact that Justin Herbert played a whale of a game. He played a whale of a game. 47 attempts, 40 completions, 405 yards, and did not turn the ball over. Kirk Cousins had nice statistics, but again, a lot of the decision-making down the stretch, always kind of with the stupid checkdowns. And generally speaking, the team did not look overly prepared in this game. The early game plan was lame, to say the least. That first quarter was lame. And the multi-tips also, talk about the dumbest luck you could ever get. But it's just, you know, and you could talk about the football gods all you want. No, it's just we're basically right back where we started. We're back to 2021 or 2013 all over again, however you want to look at it. 2021 when the coach got fired. 2013 when the coach got fired. I don't think Kevin O'Connell is going to get fired. I think it's too early, regardless of how insanely frustrated a lot of us are. I guess you never know, though. If the Vikings just literally fall off the face of the earth and finish 2-15, maybe he will. And I'm sure some people would be like, good, go ahead, lose 15 games. We can get a number one quarterback for sure. Because counting on a 36-year-old Kirk Cousins and having him eat up the salary cap as much as he does is foolhardy. It's just dumb. Unfortunately, we're going to be right back in the same position with Justin Jefferson's contract anyway. But maybe not as bad. At least I would hope. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, they're the star player, this and that. But once you get into the whole salary cap situation, you get to the big money, the big bucks, that's when you have to start really, you know, hoping for the best. And hopefully, again, at least your quarterback, whoever he is, your hopeful franchise quarterback, is making rookie money and not the big bucks yet. And then you can go out and hopefully make your run and pray to God that you actually win if you do make a run. You actually win the Super Bowl if you're able to get that far. You actually get past the brick wall of the NFC title game that the Vikings have not been able to cross over since 1976 or January 1977. That is way the bleep too long. I don't know. And Kirk Cousins missed on a golden opportunity to put the Vikings ahead. It would have given Justin Herbert an insane amount of time with 3 touchdowns, like 100 or 1:41 with 3 touchdowns. So that doesn't mean the Vikings would have won the game. The Vikings would have been up by 3. Would have been great. But Kirk Cousins missed. It wasn't KJ Osborne choking. Kirk Cousins missed on the play. I'm sorry. He missed. So KJ Osborne is not Jerry Rice. He's not even Jake Reed, even though I really like KJ Osborne an awful lot. That was Kirk Cousins. He missed. He freaking missed. He overthrew KJ Osborne. I'm sorry. KJ probably, you want to believe KJ could have gotten to it, but I feel that Cousins overthrew him on the play. And it's typical of Cousins in those big moments at times. He'll find a way to miss. Last year he had those big clutch plays in the regular season, and then here came the playoffs, and down we went as quickly as possible with the lamest check down ever, which kind of puts you right back where we started once again. I feel out of sorts yet again. This is just a lousy, crappy start to the regular season once again, and it just feels like, I don't know, barring this is some kind of miracle of miracles, this team's not going to make the postseason, and that's not a hot take at all. The Vikings aren't going to make the postseason? No, they're not. They're 0-3. The odds of this team making the playoffs are very slim at this stage. 0-3 is like kind of like a death nail for a lot of teams. Like, and you know, you could talk about the 93 Cowboys or the 0-2, the 0-4 Chargers in 92. I think they said 94, but it was 0-2. It was the 92 Chargers. But what happened to the 0-2 Chargers? They got the first round bye and lost in the first round, or lost in their first playoff game anyway, which is technically the second round. But they lost right away anyway. So it's like, because you had to wait a week, your magic was lost and it's gone. So even if the Vikings make the playoffs by some miracle run, it doesn't mean they're going to do a damn thing anyway. That's the most annoying and frustrating part. Sometimes it's your year and it just is great, but it feels like with this franchise, and as a fan of 30 years now, and others out there that have been fans of 20 years, fans of 50 years, fans of 61, 62 years, whatever math. I guess it's 62 already. Jeez. Years. You're pretty much, you know, you're not going to have a whole lot of faith with an 0-3 team and with the way they've been losing the games. It's not like, oh, you know, if this could have happened and that could happen, like if Caleb Evans hung onto the ball and if the ball wasn't tipped to the Chargers defender for the interception, Vikings would have won that one. And, you know, the Eagles game, come on now. I mean, come on. They should have absolutely won that game. Yeah, but they fumbled, like, multiple times. And against Tampa Bay, well, they suck. If the Vikings just had a little more luck in that game or this or that, yeah, you fumbled four times in the game, right? That's on you, brother. That's on you. Just like the Saints game that I always talk about. That's, of course, the 2009 NFC title game. That's on you. That's on you. Poor execution. Hang on to the flipping ball. Hang on to the flipping ball. Everybody's wanting to curse their head off, F-bomb after F-bomb. And you just look at the Chargers, secondary, and, well, just defense in general. One pass deflection for Michael Davis. One pass deflection for Kenneth Murray Jr. One pass deflection for Alahi Gilman. Two of them for Asante Samuel. A huge one late in the game. Huge one for Asante Samuel. Sometimes you forget, like, Asante Samuel's on the Chargers. Wow. Nick Neiman, one pass deflection. Jasur Taylor rolls right off your tongue. I had to say it. That's another pass deflection. And this isn't even all the Chargers defenders, because Yahoo's gotten real weird. Vikings, according to this, only had three. Byron Murphy Jr. had a couple. Good for him. But the Chargers, pass deflect after pass deflect after pass deflect after pass deflect, because Cousins is either forcing something or it's just not exactly where the ball needs to be. Over the shoulder, that type of thing. It's not quite, the ball wasn't quite where it needed to be on a lot of plays. Like, you talk about feathering the ball or threading the needle or this or that. It wasn't threaded. It wasn't threaded. That's why the ball got knocked away. Yes, good defense in certain plays, but sometimes the ball just wasn't exactly where it needed to be. And, you know, you may be trying to force a play that just isn't there. And you're missing other open receivers. Otherwise, you know, you're trying to hit players in stride and then you're overthrowing them or you're underthrowing them when you could have hit them in stride. It's just been an ongoing, insane frustration. At the end of the day, again, when you have Justin Jefferson and the great plays he was able to make, including the 52-yard scamper, that was, you know, a lot of fun to watch. That was gorgeous. Kirk Cousins, great numbers and everything, but that kind of stuff helps. The 36-yard scamper and all that. Yes, they're good plays, and Kirk Cousins made good plays in the game. But there were other plays that he just left on the damn field, and that's all I got to say about that. He's not going to be the Christian Prater Memorial, but I don't know, is he a Fran Tarkenton Award kind of guy today? I'm not sure, so sure about that, to be quite fair. This is just the kind of game you come out, again, people already talking about firing Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who, I don't know, something's missing. Can Cam Akers make a difference? I would like to believe so. I would like to. Can the offensive lineman brought in make a difference? I would like to believe so. The Dalton Risner, yep, that's who we wanted to get. The Dalton Risner acquisition, the offensive line. Of course, obviously he'd be a guard. What's going to be the situation with him? Is he going to move to right guard? And, either way, Ingram, I got to think, is going to be benched. I don't think you can really bench Ezra Cleveland. He's at least a decent starter. You don't want to toy with him too much either. Ezra Cleveland's going into free agency, but he is on the Vikings, so be it. You got to kind of play where they put you at the end of the day. Though you may end up losing him, odds are the Vikings aren't going to re-sign Ezra Cleveland anyway. Reisner, though, he's been a left guard his entire career, as we're going to get into these acquisitions really quickly before I pass out the Ponder and, of course, the Fran Tarkington award. Reisner, I got to think he's coming in at left guard, maybe move Ezra Cleveland to right guard, which he did play as a rookie. So that's probably the better scenario. But if Reisner comes in to play right guard, so be it. He probably can do it. It's just that he's never done it at the NFL level, and Cleveland has. And he wasn't bad. Cleveland was fine. He was better than the other people we put there. So it's just that Cleveland was a left tackle in college and all of that. So at the end of the day. Again, the Cam Akers edition. At first, it's like, Cam Akers, wow, that's kind of exciting and this and that. And then you kind of sit down and analyze it, and you're like, well, he didn't really do all that much. What did he have? Like just under 800 yards pretty much to score. What did he have? Yeah, like 800 yards over the course of his best season. Was it last year? And the year the Rams went and won the Super Bowl, Cam Akers had a Achilles tendon tear, but played in the Super Bowl. Was able to come all the way back and play in the Super Bowl, and the Rams end up winning the game. That's, of course, the Los Angeles Rams. Trying to pull up Cam Akers here. I apologize. I'm just kind of moving around. But we'll see. I mean, there's a chance for something there, obviously. And it's, he's still in his rookie contract, thankfully. He's very young, 2020 draft, second round, 20th pick in the second round by the Los Angeles Rams, born on June 22nd, 1999, 5'10", 217 pounds, coming in out of Florida State there. That's enough info for you. Rookie year in 2020, 625 yards, a couple TDs. He's not all that great at receiving either. He's not, I mean, it's okay, but I like Gaskin better. That's what I feel bad a little bit is Gaskin. What was he getting, like 400 receiving yards pretty much the last couple of years each, where Cam Akers in 13 games, 123 yards, one touchdown as a rookie, basically nothing in 21 when the Rams went on and won the Super Bowl, and in 22, 117 yards and no touchdowns receiving, but he did get 786 yards rushing and seven touchdowns, two fumbles lost, unfortunately, five over the course of his career overall, him being, again, Cam Akers. So that's a running back, obviously, and I'm not surprised that Alexander Mattison would come out guns a-blazing a bit, because I'm sure he's not overly thrilled about the Cam Akers addition. Amazing how cheap we were able to get Cam Akers, because the Rams and Cam Akers pretty much had moved on in a lot of ways. Basically, it's a very late-round swap in the 2026 NFL draft, which is kind of funny. The Vikings trade away a sixth-round pick, and the Vikings get a seventh-round pick in return. So the Rams even give us a seventh-round pick, which is kind of funny. It's like, who cares? Yeah, but we only give up a sixth-rounder, and it's like you still get a pick back. It's just the darndest thing. So if Cam Akers ends up being some kind of a nice addition to this team, it'll make Kwesi look a lot better. Obviously, the TJ Hockenson addition last year made the Vikings a significantly better football team. It added another, it added another tentacle to the Vikings offense last year that simply wasn't there before, especially with Irv Smith, who can't stay freaking healthy for his human life on this team. And was mediocre anyway, for the most part. Adam Thielen dropping off the face of the earth and this and that, kind of like an old, like older players do sometimes, unfortunately. Like a, like an old hockey player, sometimes they reach to a magic age and they can't skate like they used to. And it's like, oh no, what's going on? It's really sad, but honestly, the sad truth. Cam Akers and, of course, Dalton Reisner, the guy that we've been talking about forever, coming to Minnesota. Not sure why Dalton Reisner was never picked up. And Cam Akers, again, gosh, you give up a sixth and get a seventh back? Jeez, that's just funny. I mean, they even give up a seventh pick back. But I know, it's not really giving up a whole lot in terms of the Rams, in terms of the seventh-round pick. It's just weird and ironic that it wasn't just Cam for a sixth. It's just kind of funny. He will wear number 31 for the Minnesota Vikings, a lot like, what was that guy's name? I think Mueldy Moore wore 31, didn't he? And I know somebody way back in the day. Why am I blanking on the guy's name now? He was the substitute teacher many years ago. Dang it, in the mid-90s. He was a substitute teacher that the Vikings acquired. I've had his name before. Geez, I'll get it up in a second here if I can bring it back. Yep, I was right. Scotty Graham. It's like Scotty Graham, number 31. I was correct about the number. Yep, Scotty Graham was on the Vikings. He was a substitute teacher. He would kind of like given up, like, okay, I guess I'll be doing this instead. Vikings call him up, and he was okay for a couple years. So I got to hope that Cam Akers will have better career numbers than Scotty Graham. But it was a nice little addition in the mid-90s. So kind of was what it was because Robert Smith couldn't stay healthy for his life. That was extremely frustrating. And, of course, Terry Allen had moved on to the Washington Redskins, if I remember correctly. So a decent couple of years after that did Terry Allen. Yes, nothing spectacular, but good for a minute there. I miss Terry Allen. But yeah, so there it is. Obviously a little bit extra conversation here because these are significant additions and they will be on the Vikings next week. And if this wasn't a must-win situation, next week is a massive. It's about as big of a one-win, a must-win situation as you could humanly imagine for this club. What's frustrating is I just remember him being better, but I guess he's not. Vikings will be heading to North Carolina next week. Sunday, October the 1st, a brand new month, and it's a nooner on Fox. So we'll be talking about that in segment numero dos. As for the awards and demerits for this game, the Fran Tarkington Award winner for this episode is myself for doing this show. Just kidding. I'm sorry, I had to do that just to be stupid. It has to be Justin Jefferson. At least he didn't fumble the ball away this time. And yes, I know, it's probably the meanest thing ever to say. It has to be Justin Jefferson. Madison almost lost a fumble. It was like a miracle that they didn't call it a fumble. So thankfully the call stood that he was down by contact, that type of thing. That being Alexander Madison, the ball was down by contact, this and that. That type of situation. So Justin Jefferson will bring home the Fran Tarkington Award. I can't give it to Cousins. Thankfully that Jefferson was able to, and yes, he had some spectacular moments in the game. Feels like everybody could have been better. The Christian Bronner Memorial. Is there really any major smoking gun? Could it have been Caleb Evans? Caleb Evans? It was disappointing at times. Bynum with the tip pass to the for the interception. The tipped interception for the touchdown. I think I'm going to go with that one. I don't know. That was just devastating. You got to bring that in, man. I don't know. And he was disappointing throughout the game as well. He wasn't that bad, but he wasn't that great either. At the end of the day, Harrison Smith wasn't real good. The Vikings secondary was insanely disappointing, to be quite fair. I might be picking on Caleb Evans a little bit here, but I don't know. It was just disappointing, and to say the least. KJ Osborne could have been better as well, I think, but at the same time, he certainly could have been worse. Bring in that interception. That would have been a huge game changer at the end of the day. I can't really give Kirk Cousins the Christian Ponder Memorial. He obviously had some great plays during the game, but I'm sure as heck not giving him the Tarkington. I guess kind of by default, both of the tip passes at the end of the day are like, it's kind of like a combination, the play more than the player at the same time. You know, the tip passes, just ridiculous. And the whole day, just kind of the bounce of the ball went more to the Chargers with the tip passes and such, whereas at least the referees were kind of, sort of, you know, more in our favor. Not that they were rooting for us to win, it's just that that's kind of how it went. The calls went in the Vikings' favor, thankfully, at the end of the day. Ivan Pace Jr., I thought, looked awfully good, pressuring Justin Herbert. Had some nice moments, to say the least. Really liked what he was able to do. And Danielle Hunter did get a sack, but was pretty much invisible the rest of the way, which is insanely annoying. Offensive line in front of Kirk Cousins, still not good. But I can't pick on Ingram as much this week, even though it's not like he was good, but at least he didn't trip Kirk Cousins and, you know, anything crazy and stupid like that. So with all of that said, I think I've talked enough, and we're going to have a lot more conversation going on in segment number two, where we will ultimately preview the upcoming game against the Carolina Panthers. And we are back here on Purple Mafia, segment number two. Time to look around the league a bit. I am officially boycotting one of the games. I'll get to that when the we'll cross that bridge when we get there. You can probably guess why. You can probably guess who and guess why. I'm just saying. Thursday night football, if that's what it was. No, I don't think this was Thursday. No, it wasn't. I don't know what the heck. Where's the Thursday night game? Yeah, that wasn't Thursday. Baltimore and Indianapolis. Indianapolis Colts win in overtime 22-19. It's the Colt Bowl. It's literally the Colt Bowl. There's like a Brown Bowl when the Ravens, the Ravens are tied to both the Browns and the Colts in a lot of ways because they're in Baltimore. And they're the Browns that moved to Baltimore and the Colts left Baltimore for Indianapolis. Yeah, well, you get the idea. This is the Colt Bowl. Colt 45. Gardner Minshew leads the Indianapolis Colts past Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, another game with no touchdown passes, though he did run in two, but a fumble loss certainly did not help the cause. Michael Pittman Jr. with another solid game, 77 yards, so on and so forth. Zach Moss ran for 122 on the ground, kind of a bell cow type of day, with 30 rushes. The Colts emerge victorioso with a few sacks in the game as well. Looks like 4 sacks on Lamar Jackson. That's actually quite impressive. But then Kyle Hamilton of the Baltimore Colts. No, I'm just teasing. The Baltimore Ravens with 3 sacks in the game. 3. Very impressive. Yet the Colts defeat the Baltimore Ravens. And I will say this forever, even though I wasn't even actually, I was alive when it happened, but I was a little kid and there's no way I could possibly remember because I didn't watch football when I was 4 years old. Baltimore Colts sounds better. I said it. I think that's the first time I've actually said it on this air and being on Pearl Mafia. I think this is my 15th season already, if I remember correctly by the math. I believe this is my 15th season doing Pearl Mafia, which is insane. And I've never said it, and I've always felt this way. Baltimore Colts sounds better. Sorry, it just rolls right off your tongue. Yeah, Indianapolis Ravens? Nah, Indianapolis is like, I don't know, something else. Ugh, there he is again. You can't get away from the son of a gun. Ugh, it's a certain tight end on a certain team that plays in the the middle part of the country. We can't get rid of him. My goodness. Flashing on the screen right now, Las Vegas and Pittsburgh. So two black uniforms, you could say. One's black and silver, one's black and yellow. As every Pittsburgh team is black and yellow, including their college. Hopefully the Raiders get the job done just because, I don't know, it's the Las Vegas Raiders or the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I'd rather pick the Raiders. Both of them were insanely tough teams in the 1970s. There's no doubt about that. And both of them beat the Vikings in the Super Bowl. Next topic. Sorry. There's the Thursday night game. New York and San Francisco. That's what it was. I just had to look at it to remember. Yeah, the Giants are back to being midgets. They're not real good. Sorry if that's offensive. I don't mean to be the San Francisco Giants. No, that's baseball. They used to be the New York baseball Giants as well. But the San Francisco 49ers, who I still am standing strong on winning the NFC this year, they're looking more and more like an NFC type of a team. And the Giants look like a club that are probably, you know, I think the Giants and the Vikings are looking a lot like two teams that had a really nice year last year. But, it was fun while it lasted. Take a seat and watch these other teams, whoever they are, make the playoffs instead of you, because I think that's what's happening. It looks like the Vikings and the Giants are both going to be on the outside looking in when it comes to postseason football. San Francisco 49ers, they're wearing the uniforms they wore when they won the Super Bowl back in 94. Those are definitely super-duper retro. They were retro at the time. Those silver and black kind of pants, which are weird. They kind of look like the Raiders in the lower half of their unis. Anyhow, Christian McCaffrey, Mr. Everything when it comes to offense anyway, along with Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel had a massive game with 129 yards receiving, including a touchdown, a 40-yard ditty along the way, which was gorgeous stuff. Christian McCaffrey with 85 yards on the ground. Elijah Mitchell adding a couple yards as well. Not too bad. Brock Purdy with 310 yards against a mediocre to hapless New York Giants team who got their butts handed to them by a very good San Francisco defense. And the overpaid, overrated Daniel Jones is what he is. San Francisco will rue the day that New York will rue the day they signed Daniel Jones to that big contract. Everybody knew that was dumb, and the Giants probably knew it too, but they did it anyway. It's the old, you know you're wrong, but you did it anyway type of thing. Cleveland Browns, Vin Rock, Vince Germano, major shout out to you. Really sorry to hear about Nick Chubb and the terrible injury. Of course, it sounds like it's more of an MCL, though, and it's definitely not career-threatening. So isn't that the darndest thing? You go from, like, my God, he never might never play again, and now it's not even an ACL. It's an MCL? Huh. But, okay, MCLs, sometimes you can come back in 6 weeks or so. So we'll see. Maybe it's going to be longer, this and that. They shut the Tennessee Titans down to absolutely nothing. 27-3, impressive win for the Cleveland Browns, and they might be one of the teams that replaces somebody else on the AFC side. If they were in the NFC, they'd be replacing us right now, let me tell you. Or the Giants, at the very least. Maybe the Vikings are better. Vikings should have beaten the Giants comfortably last year in that playoff game, but they didn't. Deshaun Watson, we often forget, he's the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, and this year was more of a legitimate fresh start rather than having to wait through a suspension, and he hadn't played in two frickin' years, which is, like, weird and crazy. And plus, he also missed a ton of time in his rookie year after an ACL. So, I mean, Deshaun Watson has missed about 3 years of football throughout his career already with suspensions and injuries. It's freaking crazy. Suspensions, injuries, and just, you know, like, we don't want you here because you're in the middle of some litigation stuff. So that's, it's like a suspension without a suspension. It's like a, yeah, just go away, dude. We can't do that type of situation. Derrick Henry is looking like there's not a whole lot of tread on the tire. It's sad to see these running backs go from something pretty dang special to like hardly anything in just a couple years. It's freaking weird. Kareem Hunt, speaking of a whole lot of nothing, five rushes for 13 yards, but at least he got to play. Mr. Akers, we could use your help, Akers. We're aching here, Akers. Okay, I'm just teasing. Amari Cooper, the former Raider, with 116 yards and a touchdown for the Cleveland Browns, who look like they might be one of those fun teams this year. They just might, and good for them. Good for them, yeah. But I keep wanting to, I keep thinking I'm going to be seeing Baker Mayfield up there at quarterback, but no, it's Deshaun Watson. So you just might have something going there in Cleveland there, Vince. Vince Vinrock Germano coming in out of Melbourne, Australia. I hope you're listening. But regardless, I do appreciate the support. If you happen to not be listening, but do appreciate the support at the very least, that you how you retweet the show and everything. So if he's not listening, I should say, but I think he does listen. And Brown's looking good. 3.5 sacks for this Myles Garrett guy. Sheesh. Who the heck is that, right? No, he is, yeah, obviously one of the best defenders in the NFL. And Dalvin Tomlinson, the former Viking, right there with no sacks or anything and only a regular tackle. But that's okay. I mean, the run defense looks pretty good in Cleveland. The pass rush looks pretty good. The offense looks good. The running game is what it is, but they got Kareem Hunt back. Pierre Strong Jr. only ran for 27 yards to lead the Browns. Deshaun Watson with 16, blah, blah, blah. But they pounded a Tennessee team that looks like crud once again. The Atlanta Falcons, aren't they? Yep, well, then we're going to wait on that one. And we're going to wait on the Packer game. And the Bears and Chiefs game will be boycotted. We'll get back to that in a moment as to why. The Miami Dolphins put up a NFL record 70 points on the Denver Broncos, and they are 0-3. Sean Payton, the Denver Broncos might be going through a coaching change 2 years in a row. I wouldn't be surprised. I think this is it's a big waste of time. I don't know, big waste of money. It's a huge mistake. Broncos aren't going to win anything. Okay, maybe they're not going to fire him that quick, but probably not. But they probably can't. Tua, until you're satisfied. 5 touchdown passes total when you add Mike White to the mix, because get Tua the heck out of there. What's the point of him getting hurt? Perfect quarterback rating for Mike White. Remember that guy. 2 passes, 1 touchdown. But then you get back to Tua, who's basically had a virtually perfect quarterback rating. Only 26 attempts, 309 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Oh, Dolphins are looking like the Dolphins of old. They look like the Dan Marino Dolphins when they were kicking people's butts. If only the son of a gun wasn't such a jackass to every receiver he ever played with, the Dolphins might have won 3 Super Bowls. And Joe Montana got in the way once as well. That didn't help. Tyreek Hill's kind of a jackass too. Remember, I was ripping on him a couple of years ago, but he's been great with Miami, and I'd much rather see him in a Dolphins uniform than a Chiefs uniform. Devon Arcane. My goodness, 203 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. 3 touchdowns for Raheem Mostert with 82 yards. 5 rushing touchdowns for the Miami Dolphins. 5 passing touchdowns for the Miami Dolphins. Oh my goodness. If that isn't an urban legend, I don't know what is. 10 touchdowns. 5 passing, 5 rushing. That is as good as it gets. As for the Broncos, I don't know. I mean, what more can you say? Defensive coordinator has resigned, that kind of thing. After a game like that, you might. You just might. Jets and Patriots, 15-10. Well, that's about it. 15-10, the Jets are freaking toast. They were able to luck it out with Zach Wilson after the first game, but ever since then, Zach Wilson looks like Tavares Jackson. He looks like Christian Ponder. He looks like, you know, Spurgeon Wynn. I don't know. He's not going to do anything for the Jets. It's garbage. It's a shame. Dalvin Cook ran for 18 yards. What a stud. A long of 5. Awesome. I'd take Frank Gore back at this point if I were the New York Jets. It's sad. Well, they'll get the quarterback of the future, and then hopefully the quarterback of the present is able to make a return. You can hate on him all you want, but he's not on the Packers anymore, him being Aaron Rodgers. Mac Jones with a 200 yards, barely over 50% passing completion percentage, and 1 touchdown. Very average, very mediocre. But Ezekiel Elliott, the former Cowboy, averaged 5 yards a carry, 80 yards on the ground. Good for him. Good for him. The Patriotas get the job done. Couple of sacks for Matthew Judon. And the Patriots are 1-2. They win their first game, and the Jets drop to 1-2, which would, of course, put the Packers ahead of the Jets with the tiebreaker. Rematch of the 92 Super Bowl, which is in the Metrodome. Yep, the 92 season, you get the idea. Yeah, I think we all get the point. I've repeated myself 50,000 times already about that. Yes, this is what I wish the final score was in that game, particularly with the heartbreak that Buffalo went through the year before and the fact I couldn't stand the Washington Redskins in the 90s. Oh, my God. Ugh, I couldn't stand them in the 80s either, and they knocked the Vikings out in 87. Just season killers for the Vikings forever. Buffalo destroys them 37-3. That's about all you need to know. Washington Commanders with a nice, cute start to the year, and then get absolutely commanded by the Buffalo Bills, who had a little coming-out party. Josh Allen just had to throw that stupid interception where Sam Howell was destroyed. 4 interceptions. Four interceptions for Sam Howell. Brian Robinson, still another solid game on the ground. 70 yards, not bad. But generally speaking, an awful day for the Washington Commanders. Latavius Murray had 1 catch for 6 yards and 15 yards on the ground. But James Cook, 98 for the Buffalo Bills. Stephon Diggs, an elite performance. 8 catches, 118 yards along the way. But the Buffalo Bills defense, talk about sacks. I mean, my goodness, Daquan Jones 1.5, Leonard Floyd 2, Ed Oliver 1.5, AJ Espinosa, it's not even that hard, I don't know why I'm struggling with that, Espinosa with a sack, Greg Rousseau with 1, and then Terrell Bernard with 2. Buffalo Bills were buffaloing the Commanders and goring them into out of human recognition, to be quite honest. Did the Tennessee Titans do something today? Yeah, they did. They beat the Jaguars. Wow, 37-17. They beat the crap out of them. So one of the performances that Jaguars fans and Jaguars players, Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson, the coach, will want to forget this one. Awful home game. They get beat by 20. They get run out of their own stadium, 37-17, by the Houston Texans, who aren't messing around, apparently. CJ Stroud looking like one of those rookies that's showing up to play right away. He's saying, you didn't take me number 1, you sons of biscuits. Well, I'm going to still kick some butt, Chicago. they moved up. CJ Stroud, Carolina's who moved up. You didn't take me in the first round, Carolina? Well, I'll just kick some butt here in Houston. Houston's had some pretty good luck with quarterbacks, though, other than David Carr at the very beginning. They've had some decent luck. 2 touchdowns, quarterback rating 118, and this is legitimate. Obviously, they had good luck with Deshaun Watson, but then the guy got hurt, and then he got in big trouble. And then he became a Cleveland Brown. Yeah, Devin Singletary, okay, well, not a whole lot to brag about there. But Tank Dell with 145 yards and only 5 catches, a 68-yard play along the way. Great game. Etienne Jr., another great game for the Jaguars, who actually ran the ball 19 times despite the fact they were trailing. Trevor Lawrence, mediocre performance, generally speaking, including the INT. Two very nice young quarterbacks going at it. C.J. Stroud with a surprising victory with the Houston Texans over the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're not the Jaguars. They're not British at all. Even though some people thought they might move to England one day. Jaguar. Now it's Jaguars over there in northern Florida. It's more kind of Hickville around there. I already talked about the Baltimore Colts Bowl. Carolina, that's next week's opponent. Rematch of a second round matchup after the Seattle Seahawks beat the Vikings because of the three deadly sins. Cardinals and Cowboys. Now, who do you think won this game? You think the Cowboys, right? 10 out of 10 times? Okay, 9 out of 10 times? Well, this is that one time. The Cardinals, 28-16 over the Dallas Cowboys. This is why you don't bet on the Dallas Cowboys to win any Super Bowl or make any huge playoff run, because they always have that game. They always have that letdown game or two, especially in the second round of the playoffs. Or the first round if you're a Viking type of team. Tony Pollard again, who replaced Ezekiel Elliott. Another great day on the ground. Dak Prescott, kind of mediocre. Not good enough. Period. Joshua Dobbs did not turn the ball over, and he only had 4 incomplete passes in the game. Not a sexy performance, but good. James Conner, 98 yards on the ground with a touchdown. Rondell, not Walter Mondale, but Rondell Moore. That's going to give me a tongue twist after saying Walter Mondale. Good one. Not. Michael Wilson with a couple of catches for 86 yards. Marquise Brown got the touchdown. And the Cowboys upset. Not in their house, in Arizona, but still quite a surprise. Nice win for Arizona. It's a good thing to see. I'd rather see Arizona do well than just suck and be at the bottom of the barrel every single year. I feel bad. Like when Arizona was a conference finalist type of team, I was like, cool. When Arizona woulda, coulda, shoulda beaten the Steelers in the Super Bowl, man, that was a fun team to watch, and I was 100% on Arizona's side in that game. What a damn shame. When they lost, the defense let them down the stretch after some great offense. Beautiful catch by our favorite player here from Minnesota. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, Arizona not unable to hold on and defeat that stinking Steelers team. Oh, that sucked. Okay, so that's it for the games for now outside of our division. I am boycotting the Bears and Kansas City Chiefs game. Not because of the Bears, but because, why do you think I'm boycotting it? I'm not going to talk about it because the whole Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift nonsense and that ESPN and the NFL are, oh, she's there and rooting on Travis Kelce. Oh, she got really excited when he caught a touchdown. You're going to really tell us about that? Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. Just go. We don't need to know about that. It's just, seriously, is that what we're reducing ourselves to now? Is like celebrity relationships? That's what we're going to lower ourselves to instead of just talk about the frickin' game. It's not interesting. And there I go talking about it. So I'm a hypocrite without meaning to be. Boycott. Next game, Packers, Steelers, Bears. I don't know who the heck is playing anymore. Detroit and Atlanta, 20-6. Detroit football. The Detroit Lions get the job done. 20-6 over the Atlanta Falcons, dropping the Falcons to 2-1. And the Lions jump to 2-1. Riley Patterson, the former Minnesota Viking training camp guy, who didn't get to be the kicker. I was actually really... I liked Riley Patterson last year. I thought he was going to actually take the job, and he didn't, but he has taken the job for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jared Goff with a touchdown and an interception. Decent numbers, but not great. They just simply got the job done against a slightly above-average Atlanta team. Bottom line, and actually played okay defense, along with the fact that Atlanta kind of was a mess. Desmond Ridder struggled in the game, barely over 50%. Bijan Robinson, didn't do a whole lot against the Lions defense. So an improving Lions defense, at least in this game, and a disappointing Atlanta performance, to say the least. In Detroit, but the Detroit Lions just might be the favorites in the division once again for a short time. Green Bay outlasts the New Orleans Saints 18-17, and they are considered the first place team in the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers are tied with the Lions in first. Vikings and Bears are tied in last place at 0-3. Wonderful. This was in Lambeau Field. The Bears barely outlast the New Orleans Saints. Derek Carr, not David, was unfortunately injured. We'll see how bad that is at some point. Jameis Winston, well, he wasn't terrible, and that's a blessing for the New Orleans Saints that they still have Jameis Winston. Not that he's the greatest quarterback ever, but at least he's okay. He's okay, and I don't think the Saints fans were really necessarily buying Super Bowl tickets this year. Michael Thomas actually played. It's been like 20 years, it feels like. So good for him. 50 yards on 6 catches. Chris Olave with 104 yards on 8 catches. This is all for the Saints, of course. Jordan Love, not a great performance, only 50%. And he threw a touchdown and an interception. Jordan Love was not all that great. He did rush for 39 yards. Romeo Doubs, I guess, with 73 yards and a touchdown from your guy, Jordan Love. But 3 sacks for guys like Rashawn Gary definitely made a huge difference down the stretch for the Green Bay Packers to outlast the Saints in a pretty ugly game. Special teams certainly helped the Saints along the way as well. So that's kind of how that goes. Yup, he returned a punt for 40. What am I talking about? The punt was 40 yards. And Rashid Shaheed, there's the guy, it's a name that rolls right off your tongue better than anybody else. Rashid Shaheed. Kind of succeed, proceed, supersede, like the Charlie Brown cartoon years ago when they're saying I before E except after C, a boy named Charlie Brown. New Orleans led this game 17-0, and they lost 18-17. Viking fans out there that would like the Vikings to tank and get a nice draft pick, which I might be included in that group. I'm not going to officially endorse that just yet, but nudge, nudge, hint, hint. I kind of wouldn't mind getting a very, very high draft pick so we can move on from the smiling Kirk. The smiling or the grimacing Kirk is more like it. That's more what he does. The grimace, uptight Kirk Cousins. The Packers come back with 18 consecutive points in ugly fashion, but get the job done regardless against a New Orleans team that simply stopped playing in the second half. Yes, schmucks. So the final game we're going to talk about is the Carolina Panthers, Seattle Sea Chickens, 37-27 victory. The Seattle Seahawks over the Carolina Hurricanes. I keep calling them the Hurricanes because I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup next year. We'll see. 37-27, the Seahawks beat the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are also 0-3, so this one will be in North Carolina, unfortunately, for the Vikings. So something's got to give again. 2 winless teams. Is it going to be us again? Are we going to be 0-4? Whew, maybe. I hope not, but maybe. It's a nooner on Fox. Carolina Panthers come to their town. Adam Thielen's one of the captains. He's like the captain receiver, kind of like he was here. Of course, our guy, Justin Jefferson, has taken over. Andy Dalton just might be the quarterback. It sounds like he will be for the Carolina Panthers. How many times has Andy Dalton beaten the Vikings on how many different teams? At least with the Bengals, at least with the Cowboys. I'm pretty sure he beat us with the Saints as well. I think he did once. But I know he beat us with the Cowboys and the Bengals several times. The Bengals especially. He did beat us with the Cowboys once. The Bengals more than once, of course. Adam Thielen with 145 yards and a touchdown. Definitely the highlight of his the last 2 years or so. Great game for Adam Thielen. DK Metcalf with 112 yards for the Seahawks. Kenneth Walker also on the ground. Not a bad day for Kenneth Walker. My goodness, 97 yards and a couple of TDs. Geno Smith did pass for 300. So again, I do expect another aerial attack versus this Carolina team regardless. But I do expect Adam Thielen to really be obviously locked in. Hopefully, for his sake, he wants to have another triple-digit receiving type of game. And with the way the Vikings secondary played today, I don't know. He might as well have gotten that 145 yards against us. Because the Vikings secondary was atrocious today. It's nothing short of atrocious. Brian Flores knows what he's doing. It's a damn shame that things went as negatively as they did. The personnel just doesn't seem to add up at the end of the day. Quandre Diggs had some decent moments for Seattle. I'm getting him mixed up with the Cowboys Diggs, who had also had a serious injury recently, and that can't help. There's a Michael Jackson on the defensive side of the Seattle Seahawks. So another Michael Jackson, just like the receiver with the Browns and the Ravens when they first moved to Baltimore in the mid-90s. but Carolina, I mean, I don't know. It's a team that's obviously they're starting over. And Andy Dalton has had tons of success against the Vikings. He did throw for almost 400 yards today in defeat in a fairly entertaining football game. Years ago, Carolina knocked off Seattle and went to the conference final and ultimately the Super Bowl, only to lose to the Denver Broncos on Peyton Manning's last leg. And, of course, some Von Miller and stuff. That was the real reason the Broncos won, was a great defense, which is ironic considering they had an offensive coach who everybody respected so much, right? Let's talk about the Carolina and Minnesota history. Also very short-lived, or very short, but obviously Carolina's been around a lot less amount of time as the Los Angeles slash San Diego Superchargers, but because San Diego slash LA was in a different conference the whole time, dating all the way back to the late 60s. In this case, 96, the Carolina Panthers came into the NFL in 1995, along with the Jacksonville Jaguars, got started and all that. And by 96, Carolina was in the conference final, only to lose to the Green Bay Packers, who went on to win the Super Bowl in 96, much to our chagrin, I'm sure. Vikings beat a mediocre Carolina team in 96, 14-12. The next year, the Vikings beat the Carolina Panthers again, 21-14. I believe that's when we beat, a couple times in a row. What was that guy's name? The guy who killed us with the Giants a couple years later. Yep, just seeing his name is going to make me cry. Because it's like we beat him so easily. Kerry Collins, that's right. Kerry Collins threw 4 interceptions in that first game. Warren Moon, a couple of touchdowns in his final season with the Vikings in 96. And that 97 Vikings team was pretty fun. It's a decent team. Brad Johnson was newly named the starting quarterback and all that late in 96. And ultimately was, you know, looked on to as the main guy. Steve Bierlein, okay, cool. The former Phoenix Cardinal back in those days. Arizona Cardinal, Phoenix Cardinal. Steve Bierlein, that's right. Cool. He actually had a pretty good game. I think he had like this really weird injury in 03. Was it 2000? Nope, that's a different team. Steve Bierlein played with the Broncos. And he had a really bad dislocated finger against the Vikings as a member of the Broncos in 2003, if I remember the correct year. Whew, that looked painful. Vikings win very comfortably with a really nice 2000 team. Culpepper's first year as a starter, 31-17. Carolina beats the Vikings in the season opener with their only win of the season. It was the season opener, the return by Steve Smith. That's who it was, yep. Returned the ball for a touchdown, the opening kickoff of the season. The Vikings finish, 5-11. Dennis Green was fired like the week before. And, of course, the Carolina Panthers with George Seifert as head coach, the former San Francisco Super Bowl winning coach, they finished 1-15, and that was their one win, was the season opener versus Minnesota. Crazy. 2002, Carolina wins again 21-14. 2005, Carolina crushes the Vikings. Oh, yeah, and that's when Culpepper got hurt. Right before Halloween, 38-13. Just devastating. Culpepper had the terrible knee injury in that game. Brad Johnson took over again. Crazy how Brad Johnson came back all those years later, took over, and actually was decent for the Vikings. Almost took us to the playoffs, but unfortunately, the Steelers game along the way is what kind of changed the two teams' fortunes. The Steelers kept winning and went on to win the Super Bowl for the first time since about 1980. And the Vikings went on to miss the playoffs. Both teams were off to a slow start in the season, but were on a nice run at the time. And the Steelers went all the way. Yep, Vikings didn't come close. Dang it. Vikings win in overtime in 2006. Very mediocre team in both cases. 16-13 win. I don't even... 2008. Comfortable win for the Vikings and a much-needed... rebound for Brad Childress a couple years later, where he'd finally make the postseason and win the division with a 10-6 record. 2009, yep, another one of those devastating days. Somebody important got hurt in that game. Yeah, I mean, Carolina and Arizona screwed up our season. Carolina for sure did in 2009 and in 17. I remember we had the injury to the offensive lineman. I'm blanking. Elfline, right? Didn't he have like a... Did he, or was it the other guy? But that was in 2017, of course. And Elfline was hurt along the way as well. But it was the other... I think it was the other right guard, I believe, broke his leg or something. Just devastating. But I'm coming way ahead of myself. I don't want to spend too much time on history, though. But, yeah, that was a terrible day. 26-7. Carolina killed the Vikings. And games like that helped cost the Vikings home field advantage versus the Saints. And ultimately a chance to win a championship. Damn it. Yeah. Vikings would win in 2011. Who cares? Meaningless nonsense right before. Yeah. Terrible football team that won three games that year. Dribble. 2013, another terrible Viking team got killed by Carolina in October. 2014, the Vikings would have a nice, impressive win with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm. An improving Viking team there. 31-13. 2016, the Vikings would win that one. Yep, that was that 5-0 start. That was fun. 22-10. Yep. Oh, that was fun. And then 2017. Yep, that was the when we got a significant injury, a broken leg for our right guard, if I remember correctly. Actually, he was left guard, but whatever he was, a very, very big loss and did not help the Vikings cause, as the Philadelphia Eagles a few weeks later, several weeks later, would rush Case Keenum into the ground, unfortunately. And the Vikings have not played the Carolina Panthers since 2021. Vikings did beat Carolina 28-27. Lots of close games here. 28-27. Vikings would win by a point in a crappy 2020 season, and in an even crappier 2021 season, the Vikings would outlast the Panthers in OT. It's a semi-impressive fashion. Maybe Justin Jefferson had the game-winning touchdown or something. KJ Osborne, KJ Clutch. Yep, I remember that. That's when I called him KJ Clutch. That was a fun game. I remember it being a beautiful day in October. Beautiful day. KJ Clutch. That might have been his first touchdown, actually. It's really nice because I think he was a rookie that year. It's really exciting. And the Vikings 10-6 all time versus the Carolina Panthers. Bottom line, I'm not sure what to think about this team. The Vikings should be a significantly better team than the Carolina Panthers. Going on the road doesn't help. The snake bit type of performances by the Vikings of late have definitely not helped our cause either. With that said, I picked the Vikings to beat the Carolina Panthers, as meaningless as it might end up being. Maybe the Vikings only win six games this year now with the way things are going in the wrong direction. But and it might hamper our draft potential, so to speak. Carolina already had the number one pick this year, damn it. but we'll see there. I do think the Vikings beat the Carolina Panthers. I think the Panthers dropped to 0-4 is what would make more sense. I think there's going to be a massive sense of urgency. The Vikings team is too good to start the season 0-4, regardless if it's at home and on the road. Kirk Cousins is going to have another 300-plus yard game, blah, blah, blah. He'll probably look tense. He'll probably make some mistakes like he tends to do, or make some weak checkdowns when he could have done something more exciting. But I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Akers and Reisner were a factor in the victory as well, that Reisner just being there will provide better protection for Kirk Cousins, that he can have a better game. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Cam Akers had a really nice debut with the Vikings. And I think he will, to be quite honest. I think Cam Akers surprises us and gets to 100. He's going to reach the century mark for the Minnesota Vikings in the running game. Even though they might end up going with Madison, I'll be completely wrong, and Akers only gets like four rushes in the game. And then we end up losing, too. That's the other thing that could happen, because we're not running the ball at all, because we're playing from behind. But I expect Adam Thielen to have another good performance. Unfortunately, I think he might be knocking on the door of 100 yards. I'm going to say Akers gets 100, Thielen gets 90. Justin Jefferson 150-plus with multiple touchdowns. And the Vikings do win the football game by a final score of along the likes of... It might even be a reverse of this week, like 37-27. But let's be more realistic. 31-27. The Vikings edge a stupid, crappy Carolina team. But we get the job done. We score enough points. Jimmy Garoppolo is limping again. Oh, come on, man. Jimmy Garoppolo is limping off the field. Welcome to the land of Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, that, I'm sure that didn't feel good or anything. That did not. Yeah, he got sandwiched. Ah, there's like nowhere for. Yeah, it's one of those. Looks like an ankle injury or something. Yeah, almost certainly. Sorry, Jimmy. I am. I'm not being sarcastic. It just still sucks, though. Anyhow, the Vikings will beat the Panthers by 4 points. Yay. But we will be done being winless, and the Vikings will defeat the Panthers by 4. Yay. With that said, we'll come back and return for Fan Interaction. And we are back here on Purple Mafia Fan Interaction segment. I don't think there's a call-in today, and if there is, I deeply, deeply apologize, but 99% sure there isn't. Maybe I'll give it one last whirl here. One minor announcement that I think is really exciting. Well, for me anyway, I'm sorry, it's selfish, right? My fantasy baseball team, so I got some good news today, is going to the finals. So very exciting about that. Wish me luck this upcoming week. It's been a long, long, fun, magical season for my fantasy baseball team. Pretty much first place all year, but then, you know, there were some scares, this and that, and it's like, you know, some meh performances the last couple weeks. I was thinking, oh boy, here we go. So it'd be pretty cool to get the job done. It does look like I will be playing the number 2 team, so it's going to be an appropriate final battle. It's not going to be some underdog, cutesy little team that's, you know, hopefully I can waltz all over. But then again, 1 year I was the underdog, cutesy little team, and I won the whole thing. Many, many years ago in football. So those days are long gone, though. Fantasy football I just stepped away from because I couldn't take it anymore. The frustration of it all. So there's the Instagram page, of course, but we'll get to that next. Facebook is still on the fritz. Why that is, I will never know. I don't think I can understand what the heck happened. Yes. See? Good. Look, I'm glad with something I just saw. Very encouraging. Okay, anyhow, Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called, at Purple Mafia Show, at Purple Mafia Show, scroll all the way down, okay, Malcolm McSween and Tanae Brown retweeted the most recent episode, Purple Mafia episode 505, minus 6, yep, I still haven't even decided what I want to call this game, but it might be just tipping the ball away, I don't know, I'll come up with something. Something mediocre. No, I don't know. Sometimes it just fits, like error 404. Last week was minus 6 with the minus 6 in the turnover ratio. This week, I don't know. Maybe something cool will come to my mind or not. Mad Martin coming in, speaking of cool, coming in out of Northern Scotland, says, just finished the show. As always, excellent. And thank you so much for that. That 85 first round pick was a certain Christopher John Dolman. So Christopher John Dolman, who has run for president. He is the president of the United States. Just kidding. Chris Dolman, I'm just kidding. This is the way you said it. It's funny. That was a nice pick. And yes, it really was. Phenomenal. I forgot about that. Because the Vikings have had the number one pick, I guess, like twice in their history. Ron Yeary, a damn good left tackle. That was the best offensive lineman probably in the history of the Vikings, at least at Mount Rushmore, no doubt about it, especially during the Super Bowl years. Mad Martin continues saying, what was he saying, badly needed, because I said something. Yeah, the Vikings, yep, the report was the Vikings are signing top free agent guard Dalton Reisner. Mad Martin responds with badly needed, but still a ton of issues on that line. Absolutely, including the fact that Darisaw was hurt, but luckily he did play today. Thankfully, sensible move. Yep, I believe that was. Oh yeah, I was like, I should have known better about Chris Dolman. I was like, that's what I get for rushing out the show. Duh on me. And then Mad Martin says a sensible move. Yeah, sensible for sure. It's a defensive end, Chris Dolman. That guy was a great defensive lineman. He was a great defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. And when he left for the Falcons because we didn't want to pay him or something, like after 92, I remember just being devastated. Oh, a certain guy that, got rolled up. But he probably played and he's okay. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo was walking around, so that's good news. Yep. Anyhow, I'm just looking at something. The game I'm boycotting is on the TV right now. And the whole planet, doesn't give a rat's ass. Next, Ed Martin says, we lead the league in something. Yep, because he was responding to me bitching about something. Yep. I was saying, it doesn't matter how good you are if you can't hang on to the ball. You aren't worth diddly squat. So at least I wasn't dropping F-bombs and screwing up my Twitter account. Maybe it'll recover one of these decades. Mad Martin says, well, we lead the league in something with their league-leading seventh fumble. And I was saying, we finally lead the league in something. Too bad it's on the wrong end. Mad Martin continues, says, indeed. So we are up against the 32-ranked pass defense and we run the ball. Run the ball. Great. He was laughing. And I said, that sounds about right. Yep, that's why people are saying fire KOC already, because it's like, what are you doing, man? So hopefully next week the run defense of Carolina isn't all that good, and you got Cam Akers, but I want a balanced attack. You need a nice, solid, balanced attack and stop with the gosh darn turnovers. Yep, and he's laughing, we got one back. I was saying, yep, a takeaway! I was saying that now we're back to -6 in the air. It's a start. Yep, they got one back. Yep. I was saying Cousins to Jefferson. So Vikings Uncensored podcast. Here's a shout out to you there. Looks like you've already got more followers than me, even though my show is probably like 5 times older. That's funny. But I don't know if you're a listener to the show, and if you are, huge shout out and thank you for listening, just in case. Vikings Uncensored podcast. But if you leave Purple Mafia, I'm going to cry because, sometimes as old timers, old time podcasters, we still need some love too. In fact, let's just say the iTunes account has been very lonely and stupid for a very long time. Somebody please write a positive rating, please. I know somebody out there that uses iTunes, Apple Podcasts, something that likes this show. There's got to be some of you out there. Please help. Help. That's what I'm saying right now. It's the only hope this show has to come back to life again. Now, the numbers are kind of there. The numbers are there. But the algorithms are missing, which is weird. Pete LaFlamme, nice to hear from you, buddy. It was a retweet. Evans has to bring that in or at the bare minimum bat it away. And that's the guy I gave, out of frustration, I gave Caleb Evans the Ponder Memorial. But it's also the tipped interception at the end of the game as well. Just bull crap. Malcolm McSween liked a post where I just closed my eyes. I forgot what happened. Was that? That wasn't the interception. No, it was well before that. I can't remember what it was. Something very significant, though. One of the depressing downtreads of the game. Dave Hickey, and I failed to mention you last week. I'm gonna scroll down a bit because I know he commented a couple times, and I didn't read them because I didn't see them for some reason. Come on, where are they? Doggone it! See, it's weird. I think he replied to something. And then they, for some reason, got like... Yeah, they didn't show up. What the heck? I want to find it just out of respect for Dave Hickey, up out of Iowa. Doggone it, where is it? Now I don't see... here we go. I think... Nope, that's not it. I don't know where they went. They're not showing. That is freaking weird. Is it right there? No. I saw them. I know I saw them, so my apologies. I'm not going to be ignoring. Yep, I had no intention to ignore your responses. Maybe I'll go to mentions. Dave Hickey, anyway, says, Skull from the Vikings game, and it's like, yep, welcome. Nice to hear from you, and I was saying, I can't imagine the frustration. I hope you enjoyed the game regardless. It must have been nice to actually be there just for the sake of being there. And, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to see that frustrating game at the end of the day. That probably drove you nuts. I hope all is going okay for you, Dave Hickey. I can't find the post you made last week, and I'm really sorry. The comments. Mad Martin says, I do admire the team's commitment to the one-score games. Yep. And Tony Brown was responding with, feels like there's just nothing going right, as if we're cursed right now. Hard to know where to go from here. And yep, Dave, I appreciate that you do post on here, because now the frickin' Facebook is gone. So this way I can still hear from Dave Hickey. And yeah, I mean, I really value you, Dave. I want you to know that. Yeah, and I'm very sad that I can't find the comments from last week. I know they were there, and I remember kicking myself for missing them. What the heck? Don't you just hate that kind of thing? That is so weird. I saw them. I feel like such a dork. Oh, well. Well, hopefully I see them more often. Mad Martin says, time to tank. We need to get out of this bleeping loop. Trade Cousins if it's remotely possible. We need to build around a rookie quarterback. Time to take a gamble. Can't stomach this. I agree. I agree. It's that simple. It would be funny if secretly this was kind of sort of what Kwesi was hoping for. You never know. You never know if there's some kind of a secret little nudge thing. But, you know, like the lack of getting, you know, offensive linemen and stuff. But now we signed Reisner and Cam Akers. So, traded for Cam Akers. So, who knows? It's real weird. Mad Martin says, the image of 30 seconds left and Kirk with hands over his ears waiting for KOC to tell him what to do as the clock runs down is stuck in my head. Yeah, it was just ridiculous, wasn't it? It's not obvious. Is it not obvious you spiked the bleeping ball? What's the guy paid for? He's not good enough, and he's never been good enough. Yep, I agree. He's not. Mad Martin, one more says, and if we add all the other obvious issues that can be added to that, like we can't protect, can't run, can't get pressure without blitzing, can't cover without blitzing, can't get up the field on third down, can't stop the run, need I go on. Oh, well, always next year. And, yeah, that's the crappy part. Yeah, there is always next year, but it's, like, so meh and lame, you know, the whole feeling of next year. Oh, next year really never comes. Vikings Uncensored podcast says something that I love very much here. Literally nobody cared that Taylor Swift was at the Chiefs game, yet they talked about it every 30 seconds. See, that's the problem right now. That's the problem with the media. That's the problem with America and such right now. We deify these stupid celebrities so much that it's like, you know, it's nauseating. Like, Taylor Swift is not making anybody's day better. Travis Kelce's not making anybody's day better either. And sure as bleep, knowing about any relationship they're having is not interesting at all. Like, we don't care. Seriously, stop making it a big deal, media. So yes, thank you, Vikings Uncensored Podcast, for saying that. I agree with you 1,000,000%. And how could I not? It was extremely frustrating to see. So now we go to the Instagram as we look to wrap up the show here in our next who knows how many minutes. There might be a bunch of replies, I'm not sure. Purple Mafia Show, that's on Instagram. That's where you go. See, post-game thread. Yep, there was nothing from last week. Okay, yeah, I can just scroll. Yep, so I'm going to the mobile device for Instagram. It doesn't work so great. Hold on 1 second. So, so now we're getting to the Facebook here. Sorry for the silence. My apologies. I was suddenly getting texts from my mom, of all people. That's kind of funny. But it's nothing bad. Don't worry. Let's get to where I need to be. Dalton Reisner, was there a response? No. And then the Cam Akers acquisition. I think there was something. Yeah, Strike Force. That would be, of course, Mark from Iowa, Mark Carlson. Why are we doing this? Because we need a running back or some guards asking for a friend? A little bit of both, I guess. Well, we did sign Dalton Reisner, so we did get a guard that I mentioned. We need some guards. Sorry. You know who I miss right now? Gerald String. Dang it. I know he's on Twitter, so maybe that's the way you can get in touch. in terms of, you know, just if you prefer to just kind of have it in text like this, like Facebook and Instagram and all that. So Twitter, I know Gerald's on there. Otherwise, call in if you can, again, because obviously the Purple Mafia Facebook page has been shadow banned for some reason. Not that the Twitter account hasn't. Now to the in-game thread dealy. Yep, there's stuff in the post-game. So, okay, they'll be both. I'm sure it's not going to... 12 comments? Of course, so some of them are for me bitching and stuff. I'll go all the way down. I was saying, yep, Evans has to bring it in. Da-da-da-da-da. And I was saying, I'm already bored with this coach. Yep, here's the other celebrity nonsense that I'm sick of. I'm already with this Coach Prime nonsense. Just watch. 3 years from now, the shine will be completely gone, and he will be soon to follow. Meaning, he's not going to last that long. He's a shelf-life guy. And, yep, Mark Carlson responds with, dude, clock management. Yep. Epic stop. Yeah, it was when the Vikings had that huge stop in the fourth quarter. But, unfortunately, that didn't work out at all, which is really frustrating. Okay, let's get this. Yeah, I guess the chronological order is top to bottom, which would have made more sense anyway. Mike Gill says, it's refreshing to see Madison running with conviction and purpose early on. KJ, welcome back to the field. That was a fold, pardon me, and I was saying easily the play of the game so far, for the Vikings anyway. Mark Carlson says, my heart just sank with the turnover. What? Yep, that was like so frustrating, yes. Anybody confident going into this one? Yep, that was so the chronological order is kind of all over the place when it's in the same hour for some reason. That was that stupid fumble early on with TJ Hawkins in there. Mike Dale was asking, was there any confidence? And I was like, maybe. Mark Carlson says, I'm not so confident. And that was before the fumble. However, I am watching with family, and some of them are confident. Me, I have to be convinced. Mike Dale says, nice. When a 5'10 cornerback can rip the ball out of the hands of a 6'5 tight end's hands and the eyes rolling. Yep, very frustrated there was Mike Dale coming out of the state of New York, closer to Buffalo, I gather. Post-game thread. Where did they go? What's going on? Okay, so Tanae Brown leads things off. Coming in out of New Zealand, he says, Hawkinson was a killer for us today. Too careless with the ball, too. 0-for-3. Guess it's time to start looking towards the draft. Yep. Oh, and 3 anyway. Why can't I just click on replies? All right, so Mark Carlson responds with, Tanae might be right about the draft. No one in my family understands why so many fumbles and turnovers. Agreed. Last thing, when we win a game, I will still be doubting this year. Yeah, like next week is like borderline meaningless at this point. Then there's this funny stat. Is Kirk Case is on pace for, or Kirk Case, Kirk Cousins is on pace for these crazy numbers. 6,018 yards, 51 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and an 0-17 record. Wouldn't that be crazy? Like all those incredible offensive numbers and finish 0-17, which tells you something. A little bit that stats aren't everything. It's a big box score. It's a big box score. So Gold Star Awards, I got to give that out for last week too, because I rudely left the show without passing out Gold Star Awards. It's almost impossible. Gold Star's got to go to both Matt Martin and Mike Dale. Amazing. Tanae and Mark Carlson are bringing in the silver. And I can't remember who else was there last week. Maybe I'll go real fast here. Yep, I think that's about it. So those are the main guys. Those are the main guys for last week, though. You guys need massive recognition. You deserve it, especially having to wait an extra week. 2 golds until 2 silvers there. This week, the gold star is going to go to Mark Carlson. Gold-plated silver to Mike Dale. And, of course, today, a silver-plated bronze. Just amazing. You guys, Matt Martin, too. What am I talking about? Matt Martin, gosh, dang it. Where do you go with it? Matt Martin's like a gold-plated bronze, gold-plated silver, gold star of the week. Man, I don't know what to do. I mean, I gave it to... Oh, this is tough. It's so tough. Like, you guys all deserve like a gold star, to be quite honest. So it's obviously nothing personal either way. Mad Martin's going to get a silver star at the very least. Amazing week always, you guys. Thank you so much for your comments. And tonight, awesome comment as well. That's why you at least get like a silver plated bronze at the very least. I can't thank you guys enough for listening to the show and wishing you the best in the upcoming week. Looks like it's one of those years, unfortunately. Back to the frustrations again. And people already calling for Kevin O'Connell's head, Kwesi's head. That's been going on since pretty much the first week with Kwesi. But now Kevin O'Connell, already happening. And it's not just one or two crazy people that have been drinking too much. It's starting to pick up, unfortunately. It's a shame. We'll have to wait and see. And I'm not somebody who's like, oh, you guys are nuts, because you're not nuts. Interestingly, though, nobody's called for KOC's head or Kevin O'Connell. I'd rather say that name, head, on this show yet. But the Score North one, it was like fire, 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 fire. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. That was the fans, of course, not necessarily the, Mackie Judd and Declan Goff, but they weren't exactly like saying you're nuts, and I disagree. They weren't. They were just saying, oh, wow, more like that. But otherwise, wishing all of you a nice week. I'm not sure what to say. Do I want the Vikings to win? Only for the sake of, like, yay, they won. Other than that, if it means a better draft pick, hell with it at this point, at the end of the day, because, I don't know, I want a championship, and that's it. I don't give a dang about making the playoffs and losing in the first round. That doesn't make me feel great, you know? I mean, 3-13 is just depressing and everything, but there's always that magical hope that here's the guy, this and that. So hopefully that guy shows up at some point. With that said, have yourself a good week, and we'll talk to you after the Carolina game.